When I was young, I set out to change the world. When I grew a little older, I perceived that this was too ambitious, so I set out to change my state. This too, I realized as I grew older, was too ambitious, so I set out to change my town. When I realized I could not even do this, I tried to change my family. Now, as an old man, I know that I should have started by changing myself. If I had started out with myself, maybe then I would have succeeded in changing my family, the town, or even the state, and who knows, maybe even the world. Those are the words of a Hasidic rabbi on his deathbed. An empty spirit can do everything. What is an empty spirit? An empty spirit is one that is confused by nothing, attached to nothing, nor to any fixed way of acting, and has no concern whatever in anything for its own gain. For it is all sucked down into God's dearest will and has forsaken its own. And those are the words of the German Dominican mystic Meister Eckhart, who lived about the years 1260 to 1327. There's a place in the Galilee region where Jesus taught this parable. This place is called the Bay of Parables. It was little known then. It wasn't called that then, and it's vaguely known to only a few now as the Bay of Parables. The crowds were so great that day that Jesus climbs aboard a boat and asks Peter to row out into the Sea of Galilee so that he might use this watery pulpit to preach. I've read that near the shoreline is a naturally occurring amphitheater where people would have been able to sit comfortably to listen. And also, as sound travels quickly and clearly over water, the acoustics made it easier for the large numbers of people to hear. They wouldn't have needed a microphone like this. And it was an important message to hear, as it is today. All around the Bay of Parables, the topography exists of, then and now, of rocky ground, fertile ground, stony ground, and even thorn bushes. A farmer goes out to sow, Jesus says. And as he sowed, some seeds fell. Among the many interpretations of this parable, and Jesus gives his own, but our take on it, I think that being planted in God's life is something of what this parable of the sower is really about. Even the last stanza of the hymn we just sang spoke about being grafted in God's life, being planted in it. And here, for the first time in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we encounter Jesus teaching through the first parable he ever spoke. It's not only the first, but it's also one of the most vivid parables he ever told, and the only parable to which an explanation or kind of commentary is appended. Today, and every day, Jesus climbs into his floating pulpit and issues the eternal invitation of the kingdom, the universal Catholic call to enter and embrace and embody the rule and reign of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. From an image born in the daily life of Palestinian farming, a sower goes out with a bag of seed grain under one arm and broadcasts it in a wide arc, just throws it out, just indiscriminately, everywhere, here, there, everywhere, just all over. And Jesus is telling us that God is the sower. And Jesus himself is the kingdom seed, flung far and wide by God to all sorts and conditions of soil, all sorts and conditions of spirit, all sorts and conditions of people, as a wonderful prayer in the Book of Common Prayer says. Regardless of its receptivity, just flung, sown, He flings himself and the good news he proclaims to the undifferentiated masses, not just to the plowed ground of the devout and religious and well-behaved. No, Jesus the seed has been flung by the Father especially into the rocky, weed-infested soil of sinners, of the lost, of the soul-wounded peoples of the earth. I've just become acquainted with, and sort of a friend, I guess, with a young man named Trevor. He's begun to work out at the little gym I've been working out for years. And he and his wife and their one little elementary school and one preschool children live most of their time in Papua New Guinea. They're missionaries. They live in a remote, forested area with nothing of the amenities that we have. No electricity, no cars. In fact, the only thing they've seen that is modern is an airplane flying over, and it baffles them. Some have ventured out for a 7-day walk, a trek, to the nearest city and reported that they have seen cars. And they come back and say, there are cars out there. But they have nothing. They eat grub worms. The women are the sort of the grass skirt topless kind. The men clothed or unclothed. The children certainly unclothed. And they hunt. And they are subsistence farmers. And their life is very difficult. And their tribe is about 4,000 people. And Trevor and his family are the first Christian outreach to ever reach this particular portion of a tribe. And yet some are being raised up in Christ. Trevor himself has been held at spear point, not gunpoint. There aren't any guns. Spear point. He's been pelted and stoned by rocks. He's been beaten. He's been harmed. And he's to protect his family. That's why he's coming to our gym, to figure out how to protect himself with his family. But otherwise, he says, if it comes from the villagers, if it comes from the peoples, I'm a pacifist. I'll have to lay down and lay my life down and die if they come after me. An empty spirit can do everything. What is an empty spirit? An empty spirit is one that is confused by nothing, attached to nothing, nor to any fixed way of acting, and has no concern whatever in anything for its own gain, for it is all sunk down into God's dearest will and has forsaken its own, planted in God's life. Some of the seed is scattered in such an uncalculated sort of Johnny Appleseed kind of way that it falls on the hardened, packed down path the sower and other travelers follow to reach each portion of the field. Some of the exposed seed is just lost to the birds. And with such stony limestone layered strata such as in Palestine, there will be places with insufficient soil depth to sustain growth until harvest season. And of course, the ever-present threat of choking weeds and thorns goes without saying. Like the sun shining on the just and the unjust, the grain of the gospel of Jesus' life, his death and resurrection, is being flung far and wide wherever the sower and empty-spirited, non-attached to the outcome sowers go. And believe you me, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were present in Papua New Guinea before Trevor and his family arrived. God's kingdom is being accomplished. To the surprise of all, without calculation, Johnny Appleseed-like, everywhere, and it is especially productive and fruitful in the soil of an empty, receptive spirit. Jesus seems to be telling us, forget the birds, forget the rocks, don't worry about the weeds and the thorns, these are not the sower's concerns, only sow, and let the seed of Jesus change you. Don't worry or fret. Just fling seed. Just fling open your heart, your spirit, to God. To God who can deeply implant the engrafted living word of God, of abundant life, the life of Jesus himself, into your spiritual soil. Mysteriously, seeds will produce plants. And plants will mysteriously, eventually, produce a harvest. The reign of God. The kingdom of God will come. I've just given to those of our group who are going to the Holy Land this coming December. Rub a rabbit's foot, cross your fingers, and make the sign of the cross on that for their sake over there and for others' sake as well. But it's a book about a man who is a priest who's been on pilgrimage over there, and he contemplated the parable of the sower, and he wrote something like this. He thinks that the parable of the sower may refer not only to which individuals are open or not open to receiving the gospel message, it may also refer to those parts of ourselves that are open and not open. Can you see, he asks, your whole self as the field and consider what parts are fertile, what parts are rocky, and what parts are choked by weeds? Where, for example, are you open to God's word in your life? Perhaps you're easily able to find God in your family life. That may be your good soil. Where's your rocky soil? Perhaps you're compassionate at home, but less so at work, stubbornly clinging to old grudges. That aspect of your life may be unyielding, and God's word cannot penetrate the soil of your soul. What part of your life is choked by weeds? You want to follow God, but maybe you're obsessed with wealth, which chokes off the fruitful growth that God might wish. And to continue the metaphor he asked last, God may want to dislodge a few rocks and pull out some weeds in order to clear a space for God's word to take root. This may take the form of a friend confronting you on some selfish behavior, a sudden recognition of your own stubbornness, or even a period of suffering that opens you to God in a new way. God plows, unearthing the good soil where God's word can be planted, take root, grow, and flourish within you. Jesus never seems to worry. Apparently, neither should we. Seeds fall where they may, even right here, right now, in whatever soil condition your heart is in. The results are up to God. But the change is in you. An empty spirit can do everything. What is an empty spirit? An empty spirit is one that is confused by nothing, attached to nothing, nor to any fixed way of acting, and has no concern whatever in anything for its own gain. For it is all sunk down into God's dearest will and has forsaken its own. It hears the word and understands it. It bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. An empty spirit can do everything.